and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Well, knowing that whatsoever good thing, I've said before that knowing, this is so good for us because we can know by getting into the Word of God, we can know the good things that God has for us and the good things that we need to be doing. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, well, this is good, powerful comfort for us. It makes no difference to God whether a person is rich or poor. He's going to reward a person accordingly for the good he does. And of course, I speak of Christians being rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's, you see, salvation is not a reward, but a free gift. It's sad that, you know, that there will be some who will not be able to stand at the judgment seat to receive those things that they've done in this life. There'll be Christians only there at the judgment seat. It's sad that there will be people who won't be there. They have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you see, they're going to receive something one day. And that is eternal death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And that death is an eternal death forever in the lake of fire. You know, I've had people say, "Well, I don't think you should scare people. And, you know, you shouldn't tell them about hell. You shouldn't try to scare people in order to go to heaven." Well, I don't scare people. I don't try to scare people. I simply tell them the truth. The truth is found in the Word of God, Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." But it doesn't stop there. The verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's how a person goes to heaven, and we know that. Once we've trusted Him as our Savior, we know that because that's how we get saved. The gift of God is through Jesus Christ, and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. But that person who's never trusted Him, they need to realize that their wage is going to be eternal death in the lake of fire. And, you know, once again, someone will say, "I don't think you should scare anybody. You shouldn't try to scare people like that." Well, you know, if I thought scaring them would help them find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would scare them. Because what is it worth for a man to go to hell? What is it worth for a man to go to heaven? The Bible says, "What would a man give in exchange for his own life?" What would a man give in exchange for eternal life? We see we can't give anything because Jesus gave it all for us on the cross of Calvary. He did it all for us. Righteousness comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that a person is going to go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that a person who thinks he or she is good enough on their own to get to heaven is wrong. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's none righteous, no person. Romans 3:11, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." No person who, without Jesus Christ, seeks after God. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek us. Jesus Christ seeks us. The Holy Spirit looks for people. He touches the hearts of people in order for them to know about Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling people about Jesus Christ, not only the unsaved, but the saved alike. The Bible says there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. That's speaking about the unsaved person. That's speaking about the person in this world. Jesus Christ seeks them. It's up to the person to receive Jesus Christ then. Once He touches them, Romans 3:12 says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." No, there's no one in this world that does good without Jesus Christ as their Savior. No one is good enough on their own to go to heaven. The first good thing a person can do is to trust Christ as Savior. And I've spoken to this. If a person follows God's blueprint for success, he will get saved. If a person in the Christian life follows God's blueprint, then that Christian will receive reward according to the Bible. Remember, God's blueprint is the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, no matter what our lot in life is, rich, poor, our nationality, whether we be male or female, the difference is this. Have we trusted Christ as Savior? If so, we are not better than anyone else. We are just better off. Now, we think of slaves of the past, and there are possibly some today, probably are. Well, Paul informs them in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 6 that their reward is laid up with God for services which appear to be ill bestowed on unfeeling men. And that there is no reason, therefore, why they should be led aside the path of duty. In other words, they shouldn't shirk it. He adds, whether bond or free. There's no distinction. No distinction is made between a slave and a free man. The world is apt to set little value on the labors of slaves, but God esteems them as highly as that of kings. In his estimate, the outward position is thrown aside, and each is judged according to the uprightness of his heart. Every person has to answer for him or herself. Every person in this world must take responsibility for him or herself. I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. But you can answer to God. You can answer and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And as a Christian, you answer to God. You answer to the Lord Jesus Christ as his servant. And you can say, Lord, wherever you want me, I'm willing to be there. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to serve you, Lord. And as we think back of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it is our reasonable service to serve Jesus Christ. He's not going to put more on us than he puts within us. God loves each one of us today, and he's looking around, and he's seeking those who need to be saved, and maybe you're one of them. If he's knocking on your heart's door today, you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm opening my heart's door. I'm receiving you right now as my Savior. I'm going to go your way from now on, and that is the way of heaven. I trust you to be my Savior. Threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Well, notice the first part of that verse, and ye masters. I believe the object of this is to secure for servants a proper treatment. Now, it's evident from this that there were in the Christian church those who were masters. And the most obvious interpretation is that they were the owners of slaves. Now, remember, Paul the Apostle is writing to the church at Ephesus. And once again, there was possibly those who had slaves during that time. Either this person may have owed the person they're working for money. And in other words, they would become the slave of that person to work off what they owed the person, and in essence, they would be a slave. Well, some persons would be converted. They would get saved, some of these slaves as we think of them, and as such are now people getting saved in this world, people who owe someone something, or maybe there's a slave somewhere who owes someone something, and they get saved. Well, Paul did not say that they could not be Christians, that slaves could not be Christians. Well, as we study the scriptures, we know that God views people as Paul did, as he wrote to the Galatians. Now, of course, Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of God. So everything that we read that Paul is pinning down here, that's from God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That means the master, the person who has charge over the slave or the servant, they're all the same. We're all human beings, is what the word is trying to get across to us here. But when we get saved, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus, God, sees us all the same. Well, notice this, that the verse, in verse 9, it says, and ye masters, and it goes on to say, do the same things unto them. The same things what, unto whom? Unto the person they have charge of. Well, the same things here seems to refer to what Paul had said in the previous verses. Masters were to show towards their servants the same spirit which they had required servants to show towards them. In other words, the same kindness, devotion, and respect for the will of God was and is expected of masters, and this would be bosses and slaves, to be workers alike. The bosses also have a job to do. The masters also had a job to do, and they were to view each other alike as saved people. Well, Paul reminds servants to act conscientiously, to remember that the eye of God was upon them, and that in that condition in life, they were to regard themselves as serving God, and as being so, were answerable to Him. We've seen this all through these verses that we've been looking at in chapter 6. See, the same things the apostle would have masters feel was that they were to be faithful, conscientious, just, true to the interests of their servants, and to remember that they were responsible to God. And I believe that each person in charge of anyone needs to be under the, or have the knowledge that they are responsible to God for what they do in life, whether they're saved or lost. See, these masters were not to take advantage of their power, as we're studying here, to oppress those under them, to punish them unreasonably, or to suppose that they were freed from responsibility in regard to the manner in which they treated those they had charge of. You see, in the corresponding passage in Colossians chapter 4, and verse 1, this says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. We see the verse goes on in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Every person needs to be reminded of this, no matter if you're a servant or if you're a master or you're a boss. We have a master in heaven. Whether you're saved or lost, you have a master in heaven. Now, those people who are not saved, the master in heaven is not their heavenly father. That person in heaven is God. He is the one who created all things. He's the one that every person has to give an answer to, saved or lost. You have to give an answer to the master in heaven about salvation, about receiving or refusing his son Jesus Christ as Savior. And also the saved person has to give an account as to how they work for the master, for the Savior while on this earth. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. People need to be reminded of these things. Notice the verse goes on to say forbearing. That means tolerant. Forbearing, threatening. That means hostile. Anything hostile. Forbearing, threatening. They're not, the masters are not to be threatening. They're not to force the job onto the person they have charge of. They're not to threaten that individual. Well, God loves you today, and God does not threaten anyone. He loves you so much that He wants you to be saved. He loves a Christian so much that one day He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Serve God today, first by getting saved, and then by serving Him as a saved person, starting by telling others about Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.